You will know that recently, over the last few weeks, we have been taking a little look at some of the basic principles and basic themes within the Christian church, and we've been looking at some really important issues. This morning, I want us to think a little bit about what it means to be a member of a church, and it's a subject that we need to be thinking about. Why should someone join a local church? Why should someone formally do that? Is it not enough to attend every now and again when you feel like attending? Someone might say, well, I'm a Christian, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus, and whilst I've never really joined a church, sure, I'm part of the worldwide church. So why should I join a local church? Indeed, some people have rejected the idea of local church altogether. I hope that doesn't come as a shock to you, but that is the case. There are some, strange as it may seem, there are some professing Christians who think the local church is almost irrelevant to their Christian witness, their Christian discipleship, and their personal relationship with God. And in our world, there are people, and especially in the Western world, whose Christianity revolves around, apparently, a personal relationship with God, the God channel on a Sunday morning, and every now and again when the desire comes into their hearts, going here, there, and everywhere all over the country. But they've never actually joined a local church. They sit very loosely to the church. So why join a church? What is happening when someone joins a church? And what does it mean practically to be a member of a local church? So first of all, why join a church? Well, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but if you have your Bible open at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read just a couple of interesting verses here. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11 and following, it says this: "But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you." What I'm going to do here is just actually draw your attention to a couple of verses in the Bible that in some ways don't make much sense outside the context that people have actually joined and become part of a local church fellowship. 1 Corinthians 5, I'm moving through this really very quickly. The context is of disciplining someone who is formally part of the church. Someone who says they love the Lord Jesus, but they are living in an immoral way, living in a way that brings the gospel into disrepute. And the apostle says eventually someone needs to go and talk to that individual and, if necessary, to discipline that individual. We cannot judge or discipline someone who is outside of the church, only those who are inside, those who in some way are formally members of the church. And Paul says you need to discipline that person. So there's a little insight into the thinking in the New Testament. If you glance to another verse, Acts chapter 5 and verse 13, very simple little verse. But what I want you to notice here, something very interesting, Acts 5 and verse 13, it says this: "No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people." The word that's used there for join is actually a word that means glue or cement. And the idea actually is that people have not in some superficial way, but in a very real way, been almost cemented and glued to be part of this fellowship. It's the kind of language that only really makes sense in the context of some sort of a membership, of coming together to be part formally of a little church. So there's something else to throw into the mix as well. 1 Timothy 3, again, I'm just mentioning this almost in passing. It speaks of those who would be called to be overseers. We might call them leaders, elders. Well, it begs the question, what or whom does this person oversee? How does he know whom he needs to be an oversight of? It's those who are members. But what I want you to think about over and above those things, folks, is this. See that little verse that's on the screen there? Acts 2 and verse 47. It says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here's the thing that we must never forget. If you are a true believer, if you have come to repent and believe the gospel, if you have come to receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then if that has happened, as a matter of fact, something else has happened. You have been adopted into the family of God. As a matter of fact, if you are a genuine believer, you have been adopted into the body of Christ. And I suppose all that we're saying this morning is that if you are a Christian, if you have been saved, the scripture tells us that you have been added to the number. You have been added, as one translation puts it, to the church. So you are part of the church. And so to become formally part of a local church is simply a recognition of what already is a reality. So if there's anyone here this morning and you're a genuine believer and you've never formally joined this church or whatever church it is you're going to join, I would say to you this morning, you should join a church. You really should. You need to take that step. It's a really important thing. But I want to move on just reasonably quickly to just mention a few things. What is it that we're doing whenever somebody joins a local church? I'm really just going to highlight these, so follow it on the screen if you want. First of all, you're stepping away from a disobedient lone ranger or spiritual hitchhiker mentality. As I've said, and maybe it's not so much the case in this community, but it certainly is the case in parts of Northern Ireland and these islands in which we live, that you do come, and I have come across people who will stand and look you straight in the eye and say, yes, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, but I don't really bother with the church. And I, for the life of me, can never get my head around that. I do not understand it. In my view, it is disobedience to the Word of God. And then you get people who are just hitchhikers. They really don't put down roots anywhere. They're here today, they're somewhere else down the road next week, and they're somewhere else down the road the week after. And they never really put their roots down. And I believe actually it's disobedience to the Word of God. I don't mean that in a harsh way, but that's how I see it. So to join a local church, you're stepping away from that kind of disobedience. Secondly, you're identifying publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're identifying in a cynical world where there's enough cynics out there who love nothing else but to lampoon the Church of Jesus Christ and to criticize Christians. But to join a local church, you're actually standing up and you're saying, well, you can criticize all you like. I am a Christian. And I'm, if you like, nailing my colors to the mast. And I'm going to join this local church. Because first and foremost, it's a signal that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're also identifying publicly with the visible body of Christ. When Christ went to heaven, he left his body. So we want to be part of that. A couple of other things Come back, please. Number four, you're putting yourself in a place where you can worship and serve the Lord with your God-given gifts. Like, think of the person who sits very loosely to the church. Think of the person who says, well, I'll not bother going to church. I'll just sit at home and do this and that and whatever. How can they ever use their God-given gifts in the church if they continually do that? They can't. This is the place where we are to use our God-given gifts. There's a lovely little phrase. In fact, if you've got your Bible there, just glance over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, there's a lovely little phrase which is just worth looking at just in passing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says this: from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see that last little phrase? As each part does its work. Folks, another way of what we're saying here is that we actually need one another. We, you know, if you're sitting here this morning and you're not formally part of a church, well, there's a very real sense in which the body needs you. If you're a believer, we need you to be part of the body, because in a sense you're already part of the body, but you're maybe not as involved as you could be. And you have a role to play. Each one of us this morning has a role to play, each part doing its work. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? And even as we come to the mission, it's not a case of these men sitting at the front along with me, oh, it's down to them. I hope they're doing their bit for the mission. Well, I hope they are. I hope they are. But I hope you're doing your bit for the mission as well. We're all in this together. We're all in it together. Each part doing its work. And sometimes people say, oh, well, who am I to do something? Or, folks, don't say that. Please don't say that. You're a very, very special person. If you're a believer, you're a believer. You're a child of God. And you have a role to play. And the last thing is, you're encouraging others to commit to the body of Christ. And we all need a bit of encouragement. And isn't it really encouraging whenever you hear of somebody, first of all, giving their life to Jesus? Our hearts rejoice, our hearts lift. And then when you maybe, like, I know that in May time, when we maybe formally receive some people, it's always a very encouraging evening to see people who've taken that step and formally become part of the church. And it's a very happy occasion. And it sends out a wee message to other people. Yes, they've taken that step. They're identifying themselves with Jesus and with this body of Christian believers in this place. And when you really get involved and throw yourself into that, it's a really strengthening thing for the fellowship. I was speaking not so long ago about the importance of Christian community. And I maybe quoted, I'm not sure if I quoted this, but Tim Keller said this about community. I don't have it on the screen, but listen carefully. He said, the real secret of fruitful and effective mission in the world is the quality of our community. That's the church community. Listen to this, very interesting. What atheism and other religions cannot produce is the kind of loving community that the gospel produces. Folks, think about that. And that's why it is so important that we think about the community part of the church, the fellowship part of the church. We're not just here as a group of individuals, I hope. And sometimes that almost can happen, that we come in and go out. But we really have to work at this. I'm convinced more and more and more that in this world in which we live, as unbelieving people, who are much more quick nowadays to stand up and say, I have no time for that, than they were a generation ago. And that's probably the way it's going to go. And we need to, under God, be more effective in demonstrating our love for one another and our forbearance with one another and our care for one another. And that's why it is always an awfully, awfully sad thing whenever in any church there's a problem comes in and people are arguing with each other. It's an awful thing, dreadful thing. And the people on the outside who have no time for the gospel, they just rub their hands and say, "Yep, I told you, it's all a farce." So folks, we must always work really, really hard at that community side. And when we do that, we show something really powerful to the outside world. But the last thing I want to say is this. You may put it on there, Bill, it's not for doing it for me. What does it practically mean to be a member of a local church? Just a couple of very practical things here. Very, very, almost simplistic, but first thing is this. For somebody who's a member, it means attend. It means to listen to the writer to Hebrews 10 and 25. It speaks about our not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we attend. All who are members of a church, they attend that church regularly. They make an effort to attend the services that are arranged, not for the sake of ticking boxes. And by the way, what I'm saying here is not, I don't say it in a legalistic way. You'll know by now, I'm not a legalistic person. I really don't have much time for legalism in the church. It can be a bit of a problem. I'm not saying this in a legalistic way at all. But we do have responsibilities to attend, attend Sunday services on a regular basis, and to attend communion particularly. I remember, you probably know this, it's not so many, a couple of generations ago, that if people weren't attending at communion, that the leaders were round with them and saying, "Why are you not attending the Lord's Supper?" We've probably got away from that. But there was a reason that they did that, because they realized that to be a member of a church is to take communion really, really seriously. And again, I'll not say too much about this, but again, personally, I can never understand at all why someone would profess to be a follower of the Lord Jesus and in the absence of sickness or some other duties, that they would not be at the Lord's table. I just don't understand that. In fact, I would go as far to say that if that's happening on a regular basis, well, then either the person is not truly converted at all, or else there's a particular problem. And if there is a particular problem, well, then I, as your pastor, would want to sit down and talk to you about it. It's quite a serious thing. Attend. And the second thing is serve. Use your God-given gifts to get involved in the life and ministry of the local church. You know the old dictum, why is it that in an organization, and why is it sometimes in the church, that 80% of the work is carried out by 20% of the people? Why is that? Again, you'll be thinking I'm full of questions this morning. I don't really know why that is. Everybody pulling together. Let the message go out. And again, you'll be thinking I'm trying to take you on a guilt trip this morning. I promise you, I'm not. And I do throw this out in a spirit of generosity. I long to see more and more people just getting involved, because we're a team together. The other thing I would mention is that we pray. It is part of normal New Testament Bible biblical picture of the church, that they prayed together, that they came together to pray and just to seek the Lord and his blessing. You will know, I'm sure I've said this before, for some reason, I'm not again quite sure why this has happened over years, some idea has gathered together that to go to the midweek time of prayer or to the midweek Bible study, well, you sort of need to be almost a special Christian or a very dedicated Christian. A lot of old baloney. The midweek is for anyone who wants to learn more about the Lord Jesus, and so we need to get away from that as well. Pray and give. We are to give cheerfully. We're to give generously under God to the work of the church for the spread of the kingdom. I know we don't always mention money, but I mentioned it this morning. Let me appeal to you to give generously and cheerfully to the work of God in this place, as so many of you are doing. Thank you so much for that. Let me also just give a little plug for the United Appeal, the work of Presbyterian mission at home and overseas. And that's what it's for. It's for mission. And it's for nothing more, it's for nothing less, it's for the work of the kingdom. So I plug that as well. In a moment, we're going to do something that that churches do. We're going to gather around the Lord's table to take the bread and the wine. People who are not involved in the church don't have communion. This is something that churches do. And we read in Acts chapter 2 how the believers gather together around the Lord's table to remember the Lord. And so this morning, and I've said a lot of things about what it means to be a member, and I hope, again, you've sensed the spirit in which I've said those things. Hopefully not in a harsh way at all. That's not my heart at all this morning. But as we come this morning around the Lord's table, let's be encouraged as we think again of the Lord Jesus, as we look back and we remember his dying love for you and for me, as he shed his blood and allowed his body to be broken for our salvation, to look back to the cross and to remember, but to rejoice that in the present, he is with us. How is he with us, you ask? He is with us in his spirit. That's what communion is. We have communion with each other, and we have communion with the living Lord Jesus. And then to look forward to his coming again. And we live in a very broken world. We live in a world where there is much war and rumor of war. We live in a world where so many things are uncertain, and we do not know when the Lord Jesus will return. It could be very, very soon. We do not know. But we look forward to that day, and we rejoice that we're ready. And if you're here this morning and you're maybe not going to be taking part in the communion, but you're here and you're not yet a believer, you're not yet converted, you're not yet saved, well, then I hope that you will really think seriously about these things. We have been praying that not only will people come to know the Lord Jesus at the mission, but even before the mission begins. And after the mission is over, if the Lord hasn't come back, we're praying earnestly that people will come to put their trust in Christ. And folks, it may be that there's someone here this morning and God is speaking into your heart right now. And even before this day is over, you will have got down on your knees and you will have repented and believed the gospel, because you know deep in your heart that's what the most important need in your life today is, to be right with God, lest you go out into eternity without Christ. And so I appeal to you today, if that is your situation, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but repent and believe the good news, because it is good news, wonderful news, the best news that you'll ever ever hear. Take it from me. Don't just take it from me. Take it from the Word of God. And so this morning, we have much to rejoice in. We really do. Much has been said, and we simply commend these things to you for your serious consideration. And as we prepare now in a moment to come to the Lord's table, in a moment or two we're going to be singing a lovely hymn which speaks about that. But just before we come to that, I want us to pause for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Father, much has been said. We pray that what is of you, that you would take it and apply it to our hearts. Lord, you know our spiritual standing this morning. We pray that you would continue to speak deeply into our hearts. Bring us to Christ, either afresh or for the very first time. And Lord, as we gather now around your table, we pray that these things might live to each and every one of us. And we ask it sincerely and earnestly. In Jesus' name, amen.